seems to me like that prior to discussing item 12, we're going to need to discuss this Anvil Points issue. So I would suggest, or I would entertain a motion, I should say, excuse me, to have a new item 12 be the discussion of the Anvil Points money, and then 13 would be review grant funding, 14 review and award of submitted RFPs, and 15 unscheduled business. Is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. So, with the approval of the agenda, the first or the second item is general public comment. Hearing none, we will move along. What used to be my most favorite part of the annual meeting, but I will entertain motions for election of board officers. We need a president or chairman. What is it?
President
and a secretary.
Secretary.
I would nominate Greg Springer for president.
Second.
Moved and seconded.
Pass by acclamation.
All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Just so you know, Quint, this is where I typically jump ahead of John.
Yeah.
And it made sure that David Ludlam was sitting in that chair. So I appreciate that. So with that, we need to, I'll entertain a motion for the election of secretary.
I would nominate
John.
I think he beat you to the punt.
Second. Well, if you want, I will.
Second.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. All right, moved and seconded that John Justman be elected secretary for 2019. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That's too much.
Motion carries. Thank you. Has the board had the opportunity to review the adoption of the December meeting minutes?
Again, underlined, there was one, I thought one word was something wrong. I don't know if I can find it now. It was worded kind of.
Now, to your question of how soon we can finish, it seemed to me like if C. Springer would shut up, we could move that things along a lot quicker.
I don't have any comment, do you?
None.
So do you have a...
I can't find a question. I should underline it. It was not a big word, the word was just seemed like it was office maybe. Okay. It didn't change anything.
Okay. So is there a motion to approve the December minutes?
I move we approve the December minutes.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Carried. Thank you. Consent agenda. So we have four items. A Duffer invoice, a Reimer invoice, Lightbulb Media invoice, and Special District Association invoice. Are there any of those items that the board would like to have pulled off the consent agenda for individual consideration?
I don't have any.
I have none.
If not, I'll move for the approval of the consent agenda. Or excuse me, I'll entertain a motion.
We accept the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Consent agenda is approved. Staff report.
All right. So this is from December until now. We posted to our social media pages about our monthly board meeting that our meeting minutes were approved and posted from the last meeting. We took a photo from our community presentation at the DeBec School Board. And that we uploaded our new introduction video about the Mesa County Federal Mentalist District, about who we are, what we do, and where the money goes. And we posted about our meeting agenda is ready for review for a meeting. This is the picture from the DeBec School Board. These are the DeBec School Board members, and we gave our presentation to them. It is interesting that I forget when I go to DeBec that they are in Garfield County, also with Mesa County. So they're eligible for both both Mineral Lease District grants.
They're double dippers?
They are double dippers, but they tend to heavily go towards more Garfield County because they have more money, it seems like. So, yeah, so it's interesting. We talked about that. So for media, this last month, we got mentioned in the Daily Sentinel and KJCT News. The Daily Sentinel article was really wrong. In fact, I don't understand how they botched it as bad as they did, but the City of Grand Junction Fire Department and the City of Grand Junction had asked for them to do a correction on how incorrect the article was. I don't know if they actually did it or not. So, and if they did, I'm sure it was a small blurb somewhere. There's no grants requesting payment at this time. And the invoices are Dufford, Waldeck, Milburn, and Crone for $535 for services in December. Dusty Reimer, $3,802.73 for services. The Daily Sentinel ad and supplies in December. Lightbulb Media for the finishing of the video for $1,840. And the Special District Association renewal membership with our 25% discount for being an early member was $1,237.50. And upcoming events, we're presenting to the Lands End Fire Protection District next week. The state budget is due by January 31st. February 1st opens our spring grant cycle, which we've already had inquiries about, and February 20th will be our next board meeting. And that's it.
Any questions? Dusty?
The $1,200 was after the 25% discount, correct?
Yeah.
Review of financials. Nancy?
Okay, so all of the checks that were issued in December cleared. We had talked about when we were talking about the grants during our last meeting about the forfeited unused grants. So that's updated to the $30,818.55. So
mine's on page.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's the
balance sheet. Okay, there we go.
That's fine. Yep. Right there, so unused forfeited grants.
Right here.
Yep. So that's that total that we discussed in our last meeting. Other than that, it's pretty straightforward. Any questions?
Questions? Amanda? Thank you. Investments. Mr. Rosenberg?
Yeah, rough start. Rough end to 2018, good start to 2019. So, let's see, your report is the one I sent out last week. Mine's a little bit more current, so about a little over $30,000 to start the year, 2.3%. And it seems to be coming back, so. So not bad, which we kind of expected. The if there's any specific portfolio questions, or I just have some few economic update points that can give and help Dusty.
I can move slides too.
The return number for year to date is going to be accurate. The 2018 was the first year, and his cash came in, so that's actually not. You're not down 7.9% that year. Is 58,000, so over May, so it would be substantially less than that.
Questions for that?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you guys want my economic certainties in 2019?
Yes.
2.7% GDP growth, down from 3. 8% S&P growth, which is strong because banks killed it today, but well, not all the banks, but Bank of America and Goldman Sachs. 1.8% inflation and no rate hikes in 2019 are all the certainty. You're gonna see those are my five certainties. The sixth is everything I just said will probably be off.
I was gonna say, I'm like, there's no rate hikes for this year. I was just shocked by that.
There what?
No rate hikes this year.
Yeah, people didn't get real giddy when an investment about it. Like, this is what's gonna happen. It's like, yeah, right. But no, it's looking good. I think 2019 is looking good. If I'm going to do anything in your guys' portfolios this year, it's extend the duration on that blue piece of pie right there. We're in mostly short duration and intermediate duration bonds with rates, you know, basically kind of peaking at 3.25, 10-year treasury peaking at 3.25, and then coming back down quite a bit, now easing back up. I don't think there's like the fears, okay, we're going to shoot up to, you know, 5% on the 10-year treasury, at least in 2019. And even the Fed is saying, you know, we want to ease up. So,
what is the duration of that?
I have to get that number for you, but it's going to be like in below 5. So I'm going to guess 3.5 to 4. So I think we can extend that out, which you'll see that yield of 2.4 there on the portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
That's low for having that much fixed income in a portfolio, but it's because we're in short duration. And that's worked out well because since we've started, rates have shot up. Yeah. But now I think we could extend that out and get that yield up somewhat. So that's kind of my goal for 2019. I don't think it's I'm going to go back to my office and do it today, but just kind of over
throughout the next
few months, just start moving it up.
What's the maximum duration that you would consider for that?
I don't think there is a max duration in your investment policy.
I know that, but I'm asking you what the most that you...
Oh, how high would I go?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of depends on...
It's a small town. You'll see us every now and then on the street.
It depends on your guys' commitment to keep contributing, because if I think the last meeting it sounded like there was a decent amount that could come in again in the next couple months. If it is, let's move it up. Let's go. Because we'll have that other money coming in at the new levels that we won't have to worry about. If we don't think we're going to do anything like that, then I would take a little more time, and I would probably, you know, you don't see much duration above 10. But this is meant to be permanent capital, so I'm fine moving out as far as we can over time. You know, if you think about it, going out to like 20 years on a duration seems very risky, but for somebody who's never planning on actually digging into that principle, you might as well take the higher yield off the board. Yeah. Are you okay with that? Yes.
Am I okay with
10?
No.
What would you like? I mean,
well, the portfolio I manage in the bank is at 3.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, other people's money, it's a bank, so I understand. But the concept of duration is that it's a measurement of the interest rate, potential interest rate risk in the portfolio because of the maturity in the portfolio. So the rule of thumb is every 100 basis points change in rates, your percent change is going to be what your duration is. So if we're at a 10% duration and we have a 300 basis point move in interest rates, there's going to be a 30% unrealized loss in that portfolio.
In the fixed income piece of it.
Yeah, the fixed income piece.
Right. So
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's just the fixed income.
Which sounds horrific. I would note a couple of things, though. It's the fixed income piece. If you see that type of interest rate increase, in all likelihood, those stocks are up through the roof, right? So you're going to have some mitigating effects there. And I don't think the bank board just can't on the stock, right? Or maybe, I don't know.
No. So
you also have...
We used to be able to buy preferred in Fannie and Freddie. Back in the day.
That was
here's
the yeah, the treasury warranty. The thing is the value of that principle doesn't mean much to this group because I think your goal is to not touch that, right? Really, that yield is what is going to drive the ability to fund the grants going forward. So, I mean, if we're looking 20 years out from now and we're in a 20-year duration, but we got 5% instead of 2 all along the way, and then you see you tend to, they all big, you know what I mean? It's not as bad as a potential 30% loss in the portfolio. Yeah. But that said, it is important to stay within whatever you need to be comfortable with, too. So.
We're not, as long as we, depending on what happens with this other, we're not concerned about the liquidity risk on.
Yeah, even a long-term bond fund is you want me to maybe propose some stuff before we do?
No, I would say is, thankfully, you're here every month, and you're giving us the reports, and you're doing your part. I mean, the only thing I would ask is, before we made a major philosophical change in that, I'd just like to have that reported.
Okay. Do you guys think there will be a contribution in the next 6 months?
We'll find out.
I absolutely, well, yeah, because we'll, at a minimum, we'll take the percent of, you know, the money that came in, notwithstanding the annual points, but our goal, you know, we have a plan for taking a certain percentage of the grant money that we got in. So the money that we got in 2018 will contribute with that percent. What is it?
It was $737,000 is what we got.
Yeah, but it's...
So 50% of 50%. That.
50%.
Yeah.
That's the potential.
Okay.
Well, without the annual points. So.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Matthew?
No.
Thank you.
The annual points was $737,000.
Review and approval of the 2018 East Orchard Mesa Fire Protection District Grant Update Request.
Yes.
Dusty.
So we awarded them in December their grant. However, during the time that they had applied for their grant and gotten a quote for radios, they had to go through and change because they have... It says in the letter, it's complicated, but not. They had to get new bids with Motorola, and it falls under the same grant request for the $19,928. It's just that they're taking in the trade of broken radios and giving them a better deal. So instead of 8 radios, it would be 9 with the additional $77 that they would pay out of pocket. So there would be a change to their grant request with, I believe it's the kind of radios that they're getting, and they're getting more. And so they just need your approval because it would be changed to the terms of what they've submitted.
But the $77 is on them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Is there a motion?
They want to up the quantity.
Yeah, they're going to up the quantity. Yeah, because they got a better bid.
I move we approve the change to the East Orchard Mesa Fire Protection District grant.
Thank you.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Okay.
Thank you. Item 10, review, approve, and sign fall 2018 grant contracts.
So we circulated the grant contracts in the last day or so, and we've got the originals there in a binder. For if there aren't any questions, I can you'd be in order to entertain a motion to approve. There was one change that I would say that I wanted to alert you to between the copies that were sent to you electronically, and that was for the City of Grand Junction. We did extend or lengthen the period of time for their grant agreement from 1 year to 2 because it wasn't clear that they were going to have their construction work done by the end of calendar year 19. And Dusty was good enough to remind me that for the large grants, we usually do a 2-year term. That's the only change.
Okay.
Well, Chris prepared this for me. I move to approve the following grant agreement with the Mesa County Federal Mineral Lease District. City of Grand Junction, $126,476. Town of Palisades, $63,000. East Orchard Mesa Fire Protection District, $41,994.50, and the Lands End Fire Protection District, $19,348.25.
Did I get all that
right, John?
That's good to me.
All
right.
Second. Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, review and discussion of the U.S. Department of Interior HILP letter. So should we start with you, John? Do you want to give us the background on where, how you guys requested that letter, and then Chris can weigh in on it?
Okay. Well, we asked the Department for Interior to get something in writing to us because we were very concerned the way the to get the money back, it had to go to the federal mineral leasing district. And if we didn't do that, we were at risk of having it offset. And after that happened, we put in a request to Interior to, if they could clarify for that. And then we did get a letter, and I think I'll let Patrick Coleman is here, our attorney, and I think he can legally present it to you better than I can.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't know.
I'm sorry.
Patrick Coleman, county attorney. We met with counsel for the Interior Department and actually spoke with, and I don't recall the individual's name, but it wasn't David Bernhardt, but it was somebody directly below him, a fairly high up person in the Interior Department. And we did this in conjunction with Garfield County as well. We had their commissioners and their county attorney there as well. And we expressed our concern that this money, number one, we thought, you know, that this money was long past due. And now we didn't want them to do further offsets by somehow tying it to the PILT money that the county received. And we were able to convince them that, in fact, that was not the case. And their counsel, with our assistance, prepared a draft letter. We actually saw the draft before she had the higher up sign it. And it took them about 3 months to circulate it around to the powers that be to get its signatures on it. But the primary goal was to ensure that, in the event the county receives 100% or some lesser portion of that money, it wouldn't be offset by the PILT payments, or the PILT payments wouldn't be offset by that money. And what you have in front of you, obviously, is the result of that request. And
we met with all four counties, though. Wasn't it Moffitt and Rio Blanco?
And they don't have the mineral lease districts, Moffitt and Rio Blanco, so the money was sent directly to them. They did not participate in our conference call and meeting with the Department of Interior, and so we specifically said, you know, we can't speak for them. We want your letter to address Garfield and Mesa. And they accommodated that request. So that's how we got the letter, and I guess we're comfortable and confident that we don't see a PILT offset. So the county certainly would be free to receive money from this source and not be required to offset on their PILT payments. I have some other thoughts about the nature of the funds and who should get it, but I'm not sure that we're at that point on the agenda, so that's pretty much all I had to say.
John, anything to add?
I don't have anything other than because this goes back to the, well, when they closed, when we had Black Sunday and they cleaned up the oil shale thing up there, and one of the sad parts, as far as I'm concerned, is that they got it cleaned up, they had money left over, but it kept dwindling. Somebody kept getting their hands in that money pie, and had been worked on for years and years, and I think, you know, when Ryan Zinke came in, he was much more ready to listen to anything we've had in the past as far as recovering that money. And I think Commissioner McGinnis was in Congress when they set that oil shale as a trust fund or whatever they called it, and it should have been returned to the West Slope entities a long time ago. And I don't know, I forget, was it like $18 million to start with, Patrick, that was left over, or 15, or
yeah,
a pretty good amount of money had went out. I can't tell you where it went, but I don't. I mean, all the West Slope counties that were involved were. We're all very happy to see it get returned. And I know when we did it, we had the discussion where is it going to go? And I said, I did not want to run the risk of it going directly to Mesa County, and then next year or 2 years from now, it's offset against Pilt.
Exactly.
But nonetheless, the county's in a situation, I think, where they probably have some excellent places to use that money if they could have it. And I really think and that money was started long before the Federal Mineral Lease District was ever set up, for that matter.
John Patrick, in this it says, through an award grant or through a contract, what is the county proposing you do? Anything at this point, or is this saying that you can now get contracts, Patrick?
Yeah, and we talked about this, and I guess I'll just back up, add a little more detail to what John was saying. Essentially, it was the 1997 Transfer Act that was passed and actually implemented in 98, but it required the federal government to hold on to the money that was accruing starting in 98 until they had sufficient funds to cover the cost of the cleanup, the environmental cleanup from the Anvil Points operation. And in 2008, both the Secretary of Interior and Secretary of Energy certified to Congress that they had sufficient monies to cover the cleanup costs. And at that point, the county kind of considers that any revenue going beyond that should have been paid out. They had the prerequisite for paying the money had been met, which was the certification that the cleanup costs was covered. For some reason, they took them another 10 years to do it. And in the interim, in 2011, is when the Federal Mineral Leasing Act was adopted that created the mineral leasing districts in Colorado. And so a good portion, if not all of this money, accrued prior to the creation of this district. And I guess if you look at how funding is defined in the state statute, it would seem to include money that is distributed by DOLA from the mineral leasing fund that is accrued in that fiscal year from federal mineral leasing payments. And DOLA is not allowed to keep it from year to year. They have to distribute every year. And so I think that there's certainly an argument that this money doesn't qualify as funding in the traditional sense, and would not be subject to the distribution requirements that you all are subject to for your traditional leasing money. I know what Garfield County is doing is they're going to enter into a contract, and this is my understanding. I have it confirmed
next week.
Yeah, that they're having this meeting next week, and but their county attorney indicated that she believed that what they were going to do was enter into a contract with the mineral leasing district to have all of the money paid to the county rather than have it go through your grant application process and have the county be one of the competitive grant applicants.
The other thing that Mesa County and I think the fork are, especially Garfield, and us work with the governor and the state legislators to get some agreement and sign off to, so that Interior, when they sent the money, it didn't go to the state of Colorado. When they actually made the payment, it came to the counties. And we had to work with the legislature to get that done, I believe. And I think the governor and our congressional delegation, everybody was in agreement on doing this, or we'd have probably never got it done.
I think that's kind of
So you're proposing contractually we turn the entire amount over to the county?
Yes, and I mean, the statute says that you can do things by contract. I mean, I think it could be by a resolution of this board. It probably should contain some references to why this funding is different than your regular payments that you receive on an annual basis, just so there's clarity in 10 or 20 years when all of us are no longer around, that people will understand what happened and why it was done. But that certainly would be the request of the county. You're a separate legal entity, and the county commissioners can't dictate to you what you should do. And I'm not your legal counsel, so I'll defer to you all to figure out whether you agree with our position or not. But that's certainly, I think, that I can speak on behalf of the other two commissioners, that's the position of the county.
One of the concerns was, like Patrick said, it goes to the DOLA. The other two commissioners had the same idea. If DOLA, or if the state of Colorado can get their hands on that money, we'll never get a pin, or very little out of it. By talking and behind the scenes, they agreed to do what they did, or the money would have never been delivered like it was. So.
Chris? So I think when we talked about this last year, when it came into the district's hands, we regarded this as sort of an inheritance. It was a found money that had been accruing in this account from the Anvil Points cleanup for a long time. And it was a one-time event. So it's this is unusual. It's not gonna happen again. So that's the first thing. Second thing is Patrick's right, the money is mineral lease money. It's mineral lease money from leasing around the Anvil Points facility that was held in suspense while the cleanup was going on. So if it had not been sequestered, it would have passed out to the states and to the counties as proceeds under the Mineral Lease Act. And it was held up for that because of that cleanup. And it probably does. I'm not sure that I can make the factual statement that all of the money that accrued in that account accrued prior to the creation of the district, but it's clearly it's mineral leasing proceeds that accrued to the federal government, and which was not distributed to DOLA. I was encouraged by the letter from the solicitor, because if you'll recall, we had a discussion about this last year when the money came in, which was, is this subject to the PILT offset statute or not? And it was unclear. The PILT statute says certain types of monies, if they're received directly by a county, and there's a list of them, if the county receives those funds directly, it generates a reduction or an offset against their PILT payment. So the whole reason why this district was created was to avoid that. And I think this board's conclusion was, okay, we don't want to take any chances because the Mineral Leasing Act is one of those statutes that if you receive money, county, it can generate an offset. So we kind of just kicked the can down the road. We got that money and held on to it. So they've answered that question, at least in the solicitor's opinion, is they don't believe that if the district, either through a grant or contract, transfers some of that money to the county, that would generate an offset, which is good for the county. And the question is, this district, as a separate body politic, can make a decision about what it wants to do with those funds, how they should be allocated. Your statutory mandate is to distribute them to counties that communities that are impacted by mineral development. Mesa County is clearly is clearly one of those counties. And so you'll have a decision to make as to whether or not to, how much to distribute, if any, or whether to hold that money in some other, for some other purpose, or some other, or for some other period of time. That's, those are the discretionary things that are gonna rest with this board. And we've, historically, we've tried to treat it as grant money, or treat the distributions, which are all mineral lease monies that come to us from the state, as to be distributed for grants within our statutory purpose. It's up to the board to decide whether you wanna follow that, that procedure, or whether, because of this kind of unique nature of this money, whether you wanna do something different with it, vis-a-vis the county. So I don't have an opinion as to whether or not the county is entitled to that money, or you know, should have gotten it. I mean, if it would have, I guess, think, if you think back on what where the money came from, if it would have been just released at the time it was generated, it would have gone through Interior, it would have been distributed out by DOLA. Some of it would have gone to county, might have gone to counties, but not necessarily. And that's sort of a black box. That formula by which money gets distributed by DOLA to the counties is cryptic. I don't know. I don't know if you've worked through it, but yeah.
And I think that's kind of a key point that we seized on, was under the statute, it clearly says, as Chris mentioned, that, you know, your purpose is to distribute funding received from federal mineral leasing. In the definition section of the state statute, funding means the direct distribution of money from the local government mineral impact fund to counties, as described. So it kind of clarifies what the statute determines is funding. Obviously, it didn't anticipate that it might receive money, that there might be money to distribute that didn't come from the Federal Mineral Leasing Fund, or from the local government mineral leasing impact fund, which I believe is a state account, as I understand it, and that was created as part of the mineral lease, the state's adoption of the Federal Mineral Leasing Act in 2011. So, we're not sure this funding meets the definition of funding for which you're obligated to go through your process and distribute through your grant process. And,
the one thing I would say to jump in on that is that the Transfer Act, and I don't have my copy of the statute here with me today, but one of the things the Transfer Act said was that these are mineral lease monies. And it also said that these monies are to be released to the mineral lease districts. And it went from the federal government and Interior to the state, and to the state out to the mineral lease district. And I think there was also as you pointed out, Rio Blanco didn't have a mineral lease district, so it just went straight to their county. But so the money it was earmarked to come to the district. It's not a mistake that it came to us. But you know, how you proceed with that is, this is really just a one-time deal, and you can decide what's the best use for that.
Well, there are two lawyers in this room, and I'm not one of them. But it seems to, in reading this letter, I was struck by, I guess, what you guys would call inartful language, where it says that, for the reasons discussed in this memorandum, the department confirms it will not offset bill payments to the counties if Garfield or Mesa Federal Mineral Leasing Districts fund their respective counties through grants or contracts. That is one hell of a sentence, because for 8 years, we've been told that, and it never seemed fair to me, that the county is locked out of our grant process, that if we ever received a grant application from Mesa County and we granted that, that would blow the FML district up. It would, we would be done as an FML district, and we'd be back to getting killed. But this says exact, that one sentence says exactly the opposite.
We always thought that if the county submitted a grant application to the district, that that would be sort of money laundering, that we would be taking mineral lease money through our hands and shoveling it back to the county, and that if ever challenged, that Interior would say, nope, that doesn't pass our PILT statute. And they've now said, we don't see a problem with that.
And so I'm reading this correctly. It's not just as it applies to the Anvil points money. They're saying that Mesa County can now apply for grants just the same as the city of Fruta and city of Grand Junction and everybody else.
That's the kind of...
Or contract.
Blown our minds. It totally changed our paradigm that we operate in.
And I think it's important to point out that they're making a distinction between this source of funding and the other funding. I think if the county, you know, if next year the county submits a grant application, I think through the normal process and is funded not with Anvil Points money, but just your general money, that it would create an offset under PILT.
Well, that's not what they're saying here.
They're specifically only addressing the Anvil Points funding, because that's what we asked them to address.
So they came back and said, so Patrick, are you interpreting this that we resolve this, whatever, that next year, 2 years from now, if Mesa County wanted to apply for a federal and releasing grant money to fix a bridge or whatever, would be eligible?
I think you could maybe make that argument. Certainly, the whole tenor of the letter was to discuss annual points money. But you're right, that specific sentence that starts with "for the reasons discussed" doesn't specifically reference Anvil Points money.
They actually say it twice.
In conclusion, it says, because federal mineral lease districts by statute independent from the county, have discretion to exercise the powers granted by Colorado's Federal Mineral Lease District Act. The department does not consider MLA payments made to the Federal Mineral Lease District as payments made to the county.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be appropriate, given where we are, that Mesa County request a clarification of that and say, would you please explain, are you saying that any money or that Mesa County can apply for a grant from the Federal Mineral Lease District? I'm not talking about this annual points money. I'm talking in the future, clear it up. Can Mesa County apply or not? Wouldn't it make sense for us to know the answer to that?
I think it's clear enough, I mean, in my mind. But
if we give them $1 million grant or whatever, and then they get a PILT deduction and it blows the FML district up, we're gonna wish that we've just got a clarification.
I've said this to the board, to this board and previous boards, is that if we make a grant that generates a PILT offset, that's not the district's problem, that's the county's problem. that's truly, I mean, because we're not gonna make an illegal grant, you know, for the county commissioner's Christmas party or something. I mean, you know, we're gonna make a grant for real purposes that are within the role, within the definitions of our statute, which is, you know, for public services or construction of public facilities, that sort of thing. But there's nothing in our enabling statute that says counties are ineligible. And that's been true from the get-go.
Maybe that's why we talked about a contract.
What they seem to be saying in the solicitor's letter, and this is just, you know, my gloss on this as a third party, is that because the district is an independent body and it has its own statutory purpose, and its board sees fit to transfer money to a county, and it's within the district's enabling authority. In other words, we would do it for a public purpose that's within our enabling legislation. That they view that as not a direct grant to the county. I mean, a direct transfer. I mean, I think that the reason we were set up originally was if these monies, by statute at the federal level, if they would have passed directly to the counties, they would result in this offsetting deduction. And this is our statute for the mineral lease districts. It's just sort of it's a legal structure that sidesteps that problem under federal law.
Yeah. And I mean, logically, PILT is not lease money.
Right. PILT is completely different. Yeah.
It's payment in lieu of taxes. Yeah. And there's nothing about this money or the money you distribute on an annual basis that has anything to do with payment in lieu of taxes.
That probably came as a creative way to cut down their amount of money that are paying PILT.
Yeah, no, I have.
That's right. And they added to the list over the years. I mean, it's all kinds of crazy things like geothermal leases and sand and gravel extraction royalty. I mean, there's a whole list of things that reduce your PILT.
Because we actually, when I first took office, we had a couple of, David Frankel worked on one case and they actually relented and reimbursed us for what they withheld that one year. Mm-hmm. And then I think he was unsuccessful on the other one. But one of them we got, I don't know if it was.
Well, the first year we got the PILT deduction because they didn't agree that the legislation that enabled us complied with the spirit of the statute. Mm-hmm. So because we in Colorado tried to improve on the Utah legislation.
That's right.
We fixed that legislation the next year, and that's what he got back. Was that one.
What prompted a lot of this, I mean, what was happening, and I know for a fact it was happening in Utah, is you would get these, they'd have these special districts that they would get money from mineral leasing money distributed by the state, and then the counties would say, hey, that money you got, you better fork it over. And that's what started prompting these offsets. So there, this structure was created to create the mineral lease district, and I think your clearest course is if you were to distribute money to the county, would, in my opinion, your clearest course would be to earmark it for something that falls within our statutory scheme. You know, if the county has a big project or if there's something, some hole in your budget that is within the district's mandate.
You could have a bridge that, if you had a lot of energy development, was in bad shape in the county that doesn't belong, the Colburn, DeBeck, or Druda. Mm-hmm. And I don't know one offhand, but the could easily be that badly wore out by the energy industry, and that'd be a...
I guess my question is again, or we need to get to anvil points, but I've spent 8 years on this board volunteering to make sure that Mesa County doesn't get a PILT deduction. For us to just interpret this letter that way and then get a PILT deduction goes against a lot of hard work by a lot of people.
We'll get a clarification. Okay. Certainly, I think with respect to the annual points money, we don't need any clarification.
I get that. I'm just interested
for other funds,
for
future
grant cycles. Let's clarify,
because
it seems to me like they opened that door.
We were happy that it took only 3 months to finally get them to send this
letter.
So we'll be ready by some time in the 20 grand cycle.
We figured the money would be gone if we tried to get clarification.
Well, the district hasn't spent any of it.
Okay, so thank you. All right. Staff, how much was the Anvil Points money? How much was it?
It is in the letter. The actual the amount that we got was 1.7 million, so $1,703,873.62.
Okay, and how much did we put in the permanent fund?
Half of that. It was 800 and
Well, that's the other interesting thing.
Yeah.
Because we've put that money into the permanent fund, which is earmarked for very specific purposes under the district's policy now. And so that presents another issue that we'll have to work through.
I thought we didn't put any of it in the permanent fund yet.
Oh, we did.
No, we did.
Oh,
you
did.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So. Your policy says that you're going to essentially treat the permanent fund as a trust corpus that you will not invade except in times of great need and on a showing of compelling interest. So you have, to some degree, tied your hands a little bit.
So the remaining, we had a contract from the county.
Is unencumbered, yeah.
And I think the county's argument would be, much like the requirement for competitive grant applications, since we don't believe that this is funding as defined under the statute, it's not subject to deposit of 50% in the permanent fund, or don't you have a 10%?
So ready to put into the fund, permanent fund.
Yeah, it really is separate money and not subject to any of those restrictions.
I think you got competing fiduciary requirements here.
And John agreed that he would step down if you have to vote on that.
So. Yeah, and just by way of background, the board, when it set up the permanent fund, created a policy that essentially said that anything that goes into the permanent fund, they weren't going to spend except if they made a compelling determination that it was really important and necessary to do that. So it was really just an attempt to sort of impose that fiscal discipline on this board and future boards as to how it would spend its endowment.
Sure. So here it is. So the amount, not including the unencumbered funds that we included with it, so $851,936 of the Anvil Points money.
851 what?
1,936.
Unencumbered.
And then that 9.3 is because we had that $85,000 of unencumbered funds that we included into
right.
that. So.
Right.
So we have $851,937.62 of Anvil Points money that is in the FML district's checking account right now.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the numbers I need. Thank you. Discussion. One more question. So this is all we're going to get. The request that we got, it's nothing in writing from the county.
We're prepared to send you a formal letter from the Board of County Commissioners. Obviously, if you're ready to vote on how you're going to spend that money today, our request would be that 100%, including the amount that was placed in the permanent fund, should go to the county via contract or resolution and not via any kind of a competitive grant application process.
Just one observation. I'm not sure that we've noticed this as an action item today as to whether or not you are going to make an appropriation for this purpose. And so I do think if we're going to, if if the board wants to entertain such a request, I think it does make sense to probably have something in writing and have that at a properly noticed meeting as an action item where the board would say, we're going to appropriate this much money for this purpose.
And then we would need an agreed upon contract also.
That's right. I think that would be wise. And so if that's the direction that the board wants to go, we could bring this back at a subsequent meeting.
So I guess I have a question for you, Chris. Am I going to be able to vote on this, or will I have to abstain?
I think you might have to abstain. You might be a little too close to it.
Get kicked out of everywhere.
Yeah.
He just got appointed to the drainage district board, too.
Oh, is that right? Well,
oh, geez.
I thought you'd be moving to help plug their financial gap.
Good luck with that one, John. That one might be the...
Well, you got a ditch running past your property there. You probably know better than anyone.
What was that?
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
My comment on this, Craig, is my thoughts. The unencumbered funds, I think, I don't have any issues with that. But the encumbered funds that you guys were bought before my time, set aside, we might have a little more fiduciary obligation on that to the Federal Mineral Lease District. And we might have I don't think that's quite so cut and dried as to what we can just hand that over. The other 151, whatever, I wouldn't see it, but I don't.
You can't vote, but you can discuss.
Yeah.
I can discuss?
Yes.
I mean, I agree with that, but the money that's in the savings account, if you will, didn't come at normal channels. It was part of this Anvil Point refund, or whatever you want to call it. So it'd be a different situation if you had a $1.7 million from DOLA that the county thought they had coming. And then this thing would say, well, yeah, you do have it coming, but half of it, that'd be different, I think. I mean, there was money that was owed Mesa County for 10 years that we never were able to collect, or approximately 10, I guess, or longer.
Would have gone to Mesa County directly, or would have gone through DOLA? Would you have gotten all that?
That was the thing that everything got this one-time deal that DOLA and even the governor and everybody in the state of Colorado and our state delegation worked on getting this to go from interior, and then it was came up with has to go through the Federal Mineral Leasing District to avoid the Pills offset, which most of us were in agreement with that, but I didn't want to take the chance with having it offset next year or 2 years from now or three. And I know that's what Garfield and us were in the same situation. We both have a Federal Mineral Leasing District. And the other two counties there, I mean, I don't know what their situation is. They did form one, and I guess they're
Which soon on they're going to be seeking this kind of a letter from the solicitor's office.
I think they probably already spent the money because it was always in their hands.
Yeah.
I think they probably just kind of closed their eyes to it. But I mean, to be fair, I mean the money that was generated from Anvil Points, it's all from the leasing of hydrocarbons, and it all would have been distributed as Mineral Leasing Act monies to the state and out through DOLA. I mean that's and the only reason it wasn't is because they had this big environmental liability when they closed the facility. The federal government said, nope, we're going to hold that money until the cleanup is done.
Further discussion?
What are your thoughts, Frank?
Well, nothing nefarious happened here. I mean, the money flowed through the FML district. We didn't ask for it, but it flowed through the FML district. and we were happy that there wasn't going to, you know, there was no risk of a PILT deduction. We handled that money in a public, very public, and in my opinion, responsible manner. Had we known that a letter like this could be issued at that time, and that a request would be made to get the money back, we would not have put that money into that permanent fund. But we did put it into the permanent fund, and everybody involved in this knows that we did that. I feel the same way that you do right now, Quint, and that being that the Anvil Points money that is sitting in our unrestricted funds in the FML District's bank, I have no problem whatsoever with returning that money or contractually giving that money to Mesa County. I am very hopeful that with this recommendation that Mesa County can finally participate in grant requests from the FML District. It's always seemed not fair to me that they spent all the time, all the money, all the heartache to put this district together and got zero benefit. All the rest of Mesa County benefited from the work that Mesa County did to get this FML district up and going. It just always struck me wrong that the entity that did the most has been locked out of this process. And if in fact, as a result of this, they are in the process, then hopefully they'll get way more money out of that in the ensuing years than they would have gotten out of this, the remainder of that Anvil Points money. I'm very reluctant to pull that money out of that permanent fund. To me, it kind of defies the reason why we started the permanent fund. The ideology behind it was to put something back that, as David Ludlam said very well, these are finite resources, they're not going to be around forever, and the money, a portion of the money that comes in from the payment of royalties on the extraction of those resources should be put away so that it can do good forever instead of just the next 10 years or something like that. And so for us, we've set a really good precedent with how we have funded that permanent fund, and Matt's here every month. We take it very seriously, what's going on in that permanent fund, because we're building something, not for anybody in this room, but for the folks that are gonna be in here 50 years from now. And to have that precedent of, for a future board to say, that's not a permanent fund. They put money in there 1 year and took it out the next. We should take that money and do something with it over here. I just struggle with that.
No, I can struggle with that, but you can also make the case that this was a one-time, unexpected, or long plan, but all the effort went in to get it, and it isn't the same as if it went through the regular channels.
Right. Understood.
Okay. And I think, I mean, I don't remember, I was kind of new, but it was already in place when I got here in Garfield County. Their interpretation is they were eligible to apply. I don't know if they ever did or not, but
I think you guys played it safe here. You guys were trying to play it safe, not take the risk of generating any negative consequence.
We don't have a $140 million fund balance. Like
they got a lot more money than we do. Yeah,
no, they can afford to make some errors.
Yeah,
on this
down to 10 or 15, 20 million less now.
Well, yeah. But the other thing is, they did put money aside. And there was an argument whether they had the statutory ability to do that, but they did it anyway. So they had a permanent fund before,
and
there were permanent funds.
And it was our argument. I mean, we did the heavy lifting to get the statutory authority to create permanent funds and invest and make that happen. And they kind of rode along with us. But
they had started there before their permanent fund before we
Yeah, from the beginning. They didn't ever grant out or all the money they received every year like we did. If they didn't like the applications, they just held it back for another year. And our interpretation was you couldn't do that under the statute. But they, once they figured that out, they sure jumped on board of helping us get that.
Get that bill passed.
So it seems like where we are is we are amenable towards entertaining a contract request from Mesa County for all or part, I guess, of the built money.
When is the next meeting that you...
Next month.
Okay, yeah. So a month from, so we can...
And we'll make sure, yeah, that's right, and we'll make sure we have it properly noticed up on our agenda.
Do we need a motion?
No, you don't. I mean, there's no action item on the table here. This is really just discussion.
Well, I thought there was going to be. That's why I amended the agenda, but I apologize for that. Yeah. That's what you're here for, Chris.
I want to keep you guys legal. And I'm sure Pat would probably say the same thing.
So is that, we're good on Anvil Points? All right.
Pat, I'm going to take my leave and let you guys figure all the rest of this stuff out.
Thanks, Patrick.
Yep. Nice meeting.
Thank you. All right, so we have, I apologize for amending the agenda that didn't need to be amended, but.
Did you have to go?
All right.
We got close. We got a few minutes.
So we have tabled, I guess, essentially, our new item 12, so item 13, review grant funding amount for spring and fall 2019 grants.
Yes, sir. Starts February 1. We've had requests already, people that will be applying, and they want to know how much we have, but it was never really figured out what you guys were going to do for disbursement. And
I like that. How much you have in your wallet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's in your wallet?
We haven't seen your plan yet. We haven't decided.
So do we need to table that?
You could.
Yeah.
I mean.
It would be the right thing to do, wouldn't it?
It seems to me like your whole budget is maybe up in the air right now.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen?
I think we have to set it aside until we know what we got.
Is there a motion?
I'll table. So move.
Second.
Moved and seconded that we will table the review of grant funding amount for spring and fall 2019 grants. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Thank you.
Question. Do you still want spring grants to start February 1st?
I think we better move it back.
Okay.
Is that right?
Start March 1st? Just push it back a month?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so item 14 is review and award of submitted RFPs for banking services. Quint, you were kind enough to do an analysis of that for us.
I was, and the problem is we run into another problem here too, Craig, is all those RFPs were submitted based on a much larger bank balance than we will have if we give up that money.
These guys are bankers. They're used to being lied to.
I know. I will.
Would you call that an annual report?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think we need to circle back?
You know, we probably do because we were, they submitted all their work based on a $1.5 million average balance, and it won't make a difference.
Okay.
I mean, it won't make a difference with one of them, but the other three it will.
So are you willing to do that for the board?
Yeah.
Thank you. So could I have a motion then to resubmit the RFPs for banking services?
I would make that motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. And finally, unscheduled business. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned 3:10.
You're going to make it.